Welcome to Outrun the Bear. My name's Jacob.
I'm Adam.
And we're here to record a podcast about video games. Finally.
Finally, we're here. After we did it.
After spending about an hour preparing, you know, deep conversation about what are the topics we're going to talk about, what games we're going to talk about.
Hard-hitting news items. Yeah.
100%. That is 100% what we just did for the last hour before we hit record.
Jacob, I just have to suggest to you, it's very impressive how you just pivoted immediately right into the podcast from absolute nonsense chatter that we've been having for the last hour. I appreciate you. That's all
I'm
saying.
It's just a little switch that I have to.
I like it.
How you've been?
Well, I don't know. I'm feeling like I'm in a bit of a gaming.
Oh, don't tell me this.
A gaming like quandary, I think. Part of me like wants to get back and build, like get into like designing a racing sim and like fully building one out and just abandoning PC gaming once and for all. And part of me says, and then also, by the way, that would include getting like a Steam Deck so that I could still play some PC games. Jacob has his hand in his face right now. And then part of me, and because I've really enjoyed couch gaming lately, honestly, like really enjoying couch gaming. And, but then, you know, the other night I sat down and I played a little bitty mini Motorways, the sounds on and the, you know, the feed up a little bit with my, I've got a little, my sister was over the other day and I bought this like weird little cube fabric thing. I think I bought it at Walmart or something because I wanted something to put my feet up on under my desk so that I could kind of just like put my feet up and like relax a little bit back in my, like you don't cook chairs. You adjust them.
In this podcast, we cook them.
We cook them. So you cook the chair back a little bit.
Just to the right.
Just back a little bit. Not to the right. Yeah. Back, Jacob, back.
No, I just meant to the right setting.
Oh, the right setting. Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
You cook it to the right setting. Yeah. Just to the right temperature.
Yeah. To ease it back just a little, right? And then, and then I'm like, yeah, you know, PC gaming can be okay. Also.
You know what this reminds me? Of the 180s we were talking about earlier. These.
Right. So let me
these
also.
These journeys that you take me on.
Let's also think about like just how much sheer panic I had when I talked to my sister about playing. Have you ever played the sim game? There's a new one, Campus. It's the one where. What is it called? It's a hospital one, and now there's a campus one. My gosh.
It's like 3-point campus?
3-point, 2-point campus, yeah.
2-point campus, 2-point only 2 hospital. Points.
Only 2, yeah, not 3.
Yeah, 2-point campus, yeah.
She was playing this on a Switch, and I'm like,
yeah.
What are you doing? Like, how could you possibly play that game on a Switch? That sounds disastrous.
That sounds like an Adam comment, yeah?
Yeah.
And?
And she just shrugs and ignores my comments like this, so it's fine.
Perfect.
But you could try adopting that, but don't.
I feel like she's someone I need to like talk to more.
but I'm like, how could you possibly play that guy? Like, so some of the sim games and stuff I think would be really problematic for that kind of gameplay. But
okay.
So that's where PC gaming shines.
And this is
No. Hold on. One second though. But because I need to bring you full circle here. So
full circle.
Let's go. Right back
on 180.
PC gaming. Fully awesome again. The problem is that very much as you know, I tend to like kind of go in. I do think of it as circular thoughts because I tend to wander back to, you know, PC gaming actually is pretty great. And how could I ever play, I don't know, Diablo? When it comes out, I have to play it on PC. There's no way I'm sitting on my couch and playing that game.
I mean,
I say that. And actually, they might make it really good on console. I will say
you said,
Diablo
you've always
on
said Diablo 3 was great.
It is pretty good
so
on
like,
console.
So, like, why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I feel like the PC was still better in some ways.
I mean, those games are designed. I mean, the difference is those games are designed for console. Like, they've been designed. I mean, there's something to be said about like keyboard and mouse in a lot of games. It just makes sense. The point I was going to bring up, I was watching someone play the Steam Deck and they were like, oh, I'm going to play Age of Empires 2, which is a turn-based, real-time strategy game.
No way.
And I watched them play on the Steam Deck, and they're like, yeah, it's a little, you know, I got to get used to these controls and figure this out. I was like, this looks awful.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a terrible
like,
idea.
And they were talking about, like, I remember playing StarCraft on N64. I played StarCraft on N64. It was great, but it was designed for that controller. Was it better than PC?
No. The answer is no.
No, but it was really cool to play two-player StarCraft on N64 on a console, and it was designed for it.
Sure.
But he was trying to scroll the map because you use the touch mouse or whatever, and it was too sensitive. And yes, you can change the sensitivity, but the big thing is like, yes, it was Steam Deck verified, but it looked so awful to play. Like, I was just watching, why would you choose an RTS to play handheld?
No, I think where Steam Deck really shines from the digging I have done is like the indie games and the...
Well, anything that was designed for a controller.
Anything with a controller, basically. And people like, even Spider-Man, and actually, what's that game? Quantum Break. People are like,
yeah,
their mind is blown at how great Quantum Break looks on that machine.
But it should. I mean, those are all games that were designed for controllers.
And it's a little bit older, so it looks nice. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but it was just funny, this like idea of...
That's crazy.
I think our opinion of 2-point campus on a console would be different. I understand that there's something to be said about sim and controlling an environment like that. But if it was designed to be played on a console, like the controls will be sufficient.
I think it's probably doable, but it's not ideal. This may be the final conclusion to...
I mean, this is someone... I'm someone who bought Doom Eternal that you...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You fully disagree with...
I do fully disagree with this. First-person shooter on console in general is just a full pass. I mean, it's generally a pass on anything, but definitely on console.
Especially when it involves water and ladders.
Water? You know what? There was a
Aren't
water
we playing
level
something?
Somewhere.
Were we playing something recently? And we were like, why are we playing this? This seems like Adam would not be into it. And there was water and there was a ladder.
It's true.
What was it, though?
I don't remember.
I do. The power washing.
Oh, power washing simulator. That's
which
right.
Which was like basically like revolves around water.
Yeah.
Like that's like the key premise of it is water. And there were ladders we had to climb in order to power wash buildings.
I think that game's a fine game and I enjoyed it. I felt like I was getting wood for you guys in our old, whatever that game was called with the...
I like when you call a game fine. That was a fine game. This is sometimes as negative as you get with some of these things. I mean, listen, it was very much just a walk around and wash things while just having a chat. It was like doing something virtually having a chat about it.
The best part of it for me, though, was when our mutual friend says, so are we just going to do this and not talk? Because I think there was a lull in the conversation for whatever reason. It kind of cracked me up. So this was Diablo for me, though. Like, back in the day, Diablo was a, like, hey, I'm just going to, like deal with swarms of, you know, monstrous creatures and, you know, just kind of casually chat because you can.
I like the comparison. You heard it here first. Diablo 3 is very much like... Power Wash Simulator.
I mean, you bring me a game, I'll find a connection with Diablo. I mean, this is the way. Speaking of Diablo, let's jump into some games we're playing.
Let's speak about Diablo. Are we speaking about Diablo?
Well, we're going to specifically talk about Minecraft Dungeons and how I have learned that... actually, I've played this game before. So this game came out a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. The game's premise is that it is based in the Minecraft sort of world. That's a weird thing to say, but like, you know, this environment where you've got creepers and the other things that go along with Minecraft. But at its core, it's really about diving into different sections of land and dungeons and whatnot that lets you get loot and upgrade your loot. And you've got a bunch of equip slots and some special abilities you can get, and you can switch those out and level them up. And you've got a home base where you kind of get it upgraded as the story progresses. And it's basically Diablo for kids. That's basically what this game is. And that's very exciting for me because it means that I can play with my children and they love it. Cause of course they love Minecraft. And so we played it before, but we never really clicked with it as much as we are now. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that it's just a little more accessible in where I have it, which is on sort of the main TV in the house. And, Yeah, it's.
Is it a you can all play just local?
Correct. Co-op? Yeah, local co-op. Like you can play up to four people local co-op.
Okay.
Cool. So that's pretty great. And so I think that aspect of it's really good. And I think I have to say, like, I was working today and they were playing it this afternoon, and I'm like, man, like, I want to go play that. I gotta work. So I yeah.
So you're looking forward to when school starts full?
I mean, no, because that'll, like, how do I, like,
well, they're, if they're playing it when you can't play.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. So now we can only play in the evenings. Yeah. I did. Yeah. I am trying
to. So when they wake. Yeah. Next time you see them, you can just laugh in their face. Ha. You can only play it right. When I'm able to play it.
Exactly. So this is a relatively recent, like, revisit to this game. Like, I think we just picked it up on the weekend, and, so this is like a few days in, but the fervor for it is fierce. And so I'm trying to gate it a little bit as well to say, like, let's not go full bore on this. Let it just, you know, go over time. Also, this might play well for me. And, you know, of course they're going to hear this, but I'm going to say that, this will allow the game to last longer, I think. So it'll be good.
Fair.
cool. Minecraft Dungeons. That's, it's a neat game. I think, everybody should play it.
All right.
Oh my goodness.
All right. It's more than a fine game.
I just lost my screen for a second, but it's back.
Good.
Yeah. Now that I'm at it, I'll just jump into a few more of these if you're all right with it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Jacob told me about this game on our outdoor podcast. And he said, actually, maybe you didn't tell me about this game then, but I think we talked about it last podcast, didn't we? Doki Doki?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Curiosity got the best of me. And I think for me, I'm still playing Ghost of Tsushima. And I'm enjoying it. And I'm still putting like an hour in, probably realistically like 2 or 3 hours a week into it. So it's kind of slow paced because I'm doing almost every mission that there is in that game. And so it's just kind of slowly meandering my way through. And that is actually a fine pace. I still very much enjoying it, but I'm distracted and looking elsewhere. And Doki Doki was one of these things. And Jacob really, his passion, I'll call it, for these visual novels has really intrigued me. But now I grow concerned because I don't know what to believe anymore. I have to go back and listen to some previous podcasts to pick up on cues to see if I would actually enjoy these things, because I don't know that I love Doki Doki Literature Club as much as Jacob. I definitely don't like it as much as Jacob does. I don't not like it. It is a fine game. But I wasn't actually prepared to even... with any talking points for it, because I don't really feel like I can talk about it too much without spoiling the game.
It's a difficult one to discuss because it has quite a big...
It's got a fair,
you got to be careful about how much you talk about.
You really do. Yeah. So I'll be cautious, but I'll just say that it's not super long, which is what was mostly appealing to me. I was like, okay, like even if I don't love this thing, I can do it in 3 to 5 hours or whatever it is. But I think for me, it was so much darn reading. And
I wonder where that novel comes from.
Novel. I would have loved to have been voiced. Are any of these voiced? I think some of them are, right?
Yeah. Some of them are. I
mean, a lot of them are out of Japan, so they're probably just all text, I would imagine. But
no. I don't know. I think it's not fair to say most of them are. I think it's just a mix.
It's just a mix. Okay, fair enough.
This is a small like group who did this one.
Yeah. So I think what it has me mostly, I'll probably skip past a little bit of the Doki Doki review aside from the fact that I mean, I'm glad I played it and I enjoyed it. And actually I told my eldest kid that I played it and they were like, what? Like, you played what? Because they knew all about it. And apparently all the kids know about this game. And they all, apparently there's a bit of a thing about it. And then they share this with their friends. And next thing you know, they're like, your dad played what? So
why is
I
that,
don't know. It's
why
weird.
Is that a weird thing?
I don't know why it's weird. I didn't, I mean, they talked about it on NBC and I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. So I don't know. Anyways. But I guess what I'm wondering, because you talked up, I want to call it Aegis Rim, but that's not the name of the game. It's, that's 13 Sentinels.
Steins;Gate. You talked
about Steins;Gate so much that I've become extremely interested in playing Steins;Gate, but Steins;Gate is very long. So I'm worried about it. And I'm worried that if I didn't love Doki Doki, then Steins;Gate may not play out for me.
Okay. So like, well, I mean, one of the things that you didn't like about, is the amount of reading, Steins;Gate.
I was just kind of joking with the reading's fine. Well, it's fine.
But Steins;Gate Elite is that's what it is. I mean, it is very much just a visual novel of like, you're going through a story. So there's a lot of reading in it.
Mm-hmm.
It is voiced, but it's Japanese. You know what? Actually, now I can't think of whether there's an English dub of it.
Actually, ironically, I've switched Ghost of Tsushima back to Japanese, and I'm now doing reading all the way through the game.
Interesting.
So,
what am I to say? But the difference is this is very much just all talking and text, yeah. Right?
I think I should give it a go. I mean, what is it going to cost me? Some time.
Yeah, I don't know the story. Okay, so I mean, obviously, like the difference between Doki Doki is a shorter game. It's a lot smaller story. Steins;Gate is like a long story with a lot of build up to it, right? So I'll say this about your experience with Doki Doki is that Steins;Gate does, like, I don't know. So I'll just say that this is from being relayed to me that people seem to suggest that Steins;Gate has a very small, slow start.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it did. It grabbed me at the beginning. But like, ultimately, it's one of those things where there's a lot of like build up and character building in that game that you kind of get from the very get go. And so some people see that as, you know, a slow start to a story until it actually kind of kicks off.
I mean, I see that all the time
stuff,
in
right?
books and story so, movies. So that's
fun. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, hard for me to say. I mean, in any kind of visual novel, like, I mean, you're either going to like it or not because it is still a story. It's like, you know, did you like, you know, the story or not, but I just think it is a really great story from start to finish. I think it's just a really cool.
All right, you've resold.
Well done.
I'm sold. See, but, look how convincing he is.
I mean, you know, I'd hate for you to cop out, but you could technically take a different route with it and watch the anime.
Yeah. But
there is that choice. I still have yet to watch it. I keep meaning to, I keep forgetting.
Will you
to watch it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I did curiously see that they have ported it to phone. And I know you ended up playing yours on the phone a lot. Yeah. I don't know if it's Android, but it's definitely iOS. And it wasn't all that expensive. And so I was thinking, well, maybe that's actually probably the best way to play it because then I can just bite size it all the time as opposed to having to sit down and use a console or whatever.
Is it Steins;Gate Elite or just Steins;Gate?
I don't know the answer to that. I would not have differentiated between the two, but you'll know better than me.
So it's just Steins;Gate. So just be aware, just looking it up. It's not the Elite version. So it's still the same story and everything like that. But the Steins;Gate Elite, they've incorporated the actual anime into the game, so it's updated.
Oh, and you've got some of the
animes. You get a little bit of the anime and stuff like that. So,
right,
it's still the same story. So it's still is good, and people love it.
Well, do you remember the problem I talked to you about with my Switch, which is going to be a huge problem in 3 days when Splatoon 3 comes out again?
Yes, I've heard of that problem.
Yeah, so that problem that exists, it now basically exists with my PlayStation as well. So like, if I ever wanted to play my PlayStation during the day, I'm fighting with my children to play it. I mean, realistically, I don't really play games during the day anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But
This is the same for me. It doesn't really happen anymore.
It's all curious.
During the day.
Yeah. Anyways, that's Doki Doki. And I'm glad I played it. It is an odd game? I think I can probably say that.
You can technically say whatever you want about it.
I suppose.
It's your opinion.
Yeah, I don't want to like just spoil it though. It's a game. Is it a game actually? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
It's a game.
So we played Minecraft Dungeons, Doki Doki. I'm buying Splatoon 3 on Friday. So that's exciting. I haven't bought a first party Nintendo game in a little bit. I'm kind of excited for it. I really wanna, I don't know if we will ever be able to rekindle the magic we once had in Splatoon. But maybe we can rally some friends and try to take another stab at it. At the very least, I would be thrilled to play tons of it with you. It's gonna be good. It also looks like there's so much of quality of life improvements in the overall game. I haven't looked into it a ton, to be honest with you. My kids are super excited about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I don't think I was ready for it to be released this Friday, so I don't know if it'll. I don't think it'll be a day one. It'll come a little later.
Yeah, sure. No worries. I suspect that my children will take my Switch away, and I won't see it for probably a week anyway, so it'll be fine.
Right.
That's fair. So I installed Stray last time we chatted, but I've actually played it now.
Okay.
I don't get it. I didn't get that far, to be honest with you. Actually, my sister was over and we were checking it out, and the cat animations are definitely next level. There's no question there. All of the Twitters are true. It is a very impressive amount of cat animation. Also, making your cat meow comes out of the PlayStation speaker on your controller, which is quite pleasing.
Very good.
I don't have a jetpack or anything yet, which apparently you get, and as a cat, and yeah, obviously, why wouldn't you get a cat pack?
It's pretty standard.
Jetpack. There's a
jet cat pack.
There's a funny name there. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm sure there's something that'll win.
Keep it for next podcast.
I don't know. I guess I haven't really got too far in it to even really comment, but it didn't grab me out of the gate. That's for sure. So
okay,
we'll see.
All right.
That's fair. Escape Academy. We should talk about this. And actually, so let me just say that. So it goes to, of this is sort of the totality of the games I've played over the last few weeks. I've definitely put most of my time into Ghost of Tsushima and Doki Doki, I think, and probably Minecraft Dungeons. Realistically, like I actually enjoyed the long weekend and did a bunch of activities, but also played a bunch of Minecraft Dungeons, which was awesome. Escape Academy, you and I finished this on Friday.
Yeah, we did.
And that was a pretty fun game to play.
It was good.
To
the end, the puzzles were fun to figure out together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
except for one of them, maybe. But there were all the other ones were fun.
Was that the one at the end?
The one with the one where there wasn't pipes. A totally conclusive answer.
Like you made an assumption, which was frustrating.
Just kind of weird.
It was one of these things where we spent so much time on the puzzle that we actually ran out of time, had to extend it because we spent so much time and then we just kind of guessed because we were like, I guess we just guessed because there's literally no legitimate way. So we did the whole thing and then searched for it online. I refused to accept that this was the way to solve the puzzle.
Right.
And then we saw people do less than we did.
Yes. And then guess.
For the puzzle and then just be like, I think you just assume that it's these three and they just go through. And I was like, well, I mean, fine, if that's what you're going to assume, but like the whole point is you're supposed to figure out like which ones, and we got two and the third one was impossible. And I guess you just like,
well, the biggest problem with it is that there is no other puzzle in the game where you can't get 100% like definition on the answer. So
yeah,
this was the only puzzle in the game that really had that. So
yeah,
maybe we're not as good as we think we are.
We spent so much time. There's legitimately no way to solve that puzzle.
Yeah. I find sometimes I've done some like real life escape rooms. I think you have as well. I find that I'm not like I'm not the person like leading the pack in puzzle troubleshooting, I don't think, but I'm probably somewhere in the, I don't know, the upper mid pack. And I think I felt that way here too. I felt like you, I think you excel at these things and I think you did really well, but I felt like we were both able to contribute, which was really nice.
Oh yeah, for sure it did. Yeah.
Yeah, just super enjoyable. It's a neat game to play co-op, and the fact that they made it so accessible remotely, especially with the split screens, Escape Academy sort of delivered, and there's a DLC, and I think we both agreed that we'll do some more of this. And with Game Pass, which is how we played it, we'll end up having to pay for the DLC, I think, which is okay.
Whatever that could become. I mean, if it goes on sale for the full package on Steam, I mean, could, I guess it depends too. What is more worth it. But yeah, I mean, I'd pay for the DLC on Game Pass before.
Sure, sure. Yeah, it'd be fine.
Just because it's one of those things where I'll probably only play it with you in the end. So we'll buy it, and I'm not too concerned that it won't
quote, yeah, the replayability
own the full thing.
Correct, yeah. The replayability really wouldn't be there. I mean, I guess somebody else could play it on your account would be the benefit.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. But like, you're not gonna play it again. The only reason you play it again is to beat your time, but it doesn't make a lot of sense when you know the puzzles.
Yeah, that makes me wonder actually how many like parents have handed down their Steam accounts to their children versus how many parents are like, that's my account.
Meaning like inheritance or just like,
no, not inheritance so much as like, I've maybe grown out of that phase of my life and I just like, I don't have
you
time
just,
or
account?
I'm just not PC gaming anymore. And I'm just going to say, okay, kids, it's all yours now.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think with the way that family sharing works now,
it's like, irrelevant.
It matters.
No,
it's irrelevant.
It. Yeah.
They have their own account and can just share your library.
That's a good point.
Same
yeah.
machine.
Yeah, you're totally right.
It's since they introduced that, if you're.
Which back. Actually, yeah, we do today. So that's actually my one kid who has the Mac. It's amazing what you can do with this Mac that has no ability to play games or Fortnite or anything, and yet I can stream everything to it, and it just
right.
works great. So it's yeah. kind of neat. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Escape Academy is great. I also just, I love that. Like that's, I love
puzzles.
That
you
style
love puzzles
thing. And yeah,
period.
I love puzzles and I yeah. love that kind of thing. Yeah. Like me and my friend went back to play We Were Here together because we had never that's one game where, you know, because you play two different roles, you see two different things. And we had never like finished the reverse role. So we'd beaten the game and then we had gone like halfway reversing the roles. And so the day before our PS Plus expired, so we could play it, we went back and played that. And because it had been so long, there was still a bit of like remembering the puzzles, but it's always fun with that one because in that one, you see a different thing. So
right.
I got to see his side of the puzzle,
oh,
which was
it.
Different for me. So I
sure.
actually had to like figure out, I remember what he was feeding me, but I had to see what information he saw. And then vice versa. He was like, oh, this makes more sense. Because you always have this idea, like, it's a struggle that you give this information and you're trying to figure out why this person is struggling to understand or use that information. And then you kind of see, oh, this is more complicated because, you know, you're only dealing with this. So, yeah, I like that. I really do like it. It's a lot of fun. So yeah, I enjoyed Escape Academy. The story was a bit oddball,
hemmed up
but like,
yeah.
I don't know. What do you do with a, you know, where you just
think,
want to introduce a bunch of escape rooms? It's
right.
fine.
I think the story
yeah.
was as good as you can get for this kind of
yeah.
game, honestly.
Yeah.
I think they did a great
funny.
Job. Yeah.
That's good.
It was good.
Yeah. Well, I still had a good time. So looking forward to the DLC.
Yeah. I think the only other thing I would say is, I heard rumors that there will be a Nintendo Direct coming up that hasn't been announced yet. And I'm like, of course
yeah.
there's going to be one. But here's the thing. I don't know what Nintendo's doing this fall. Like, we haven't
so
heard
the current,
anything about...
The current rumors are a remat bringing out Twilight Princess and Wind Waker
on Zelda
Switch.
Games. Yeah. Yeah. Which is great.
Which, yeah, I don't know, though.
No?
I mean... Well, I was thinking about this. I was talking to my friend about this because I'm going to talk about a couple games.
I might buy Wind
that I
played
Waker, on my 3DS
because I never finished it.
I, you know what? The definitive version of Wind Waker and Twilight Princess for me now is Wii U.
Is Wii U? I own it on Wii U. Yeah.
The two screens.
Yeah.
The two screens is the way to play that game.
Sure.
It's so good to have that second
screen
for the inventory.
Yeah. yeah.
And so, like, getting an HD remaster yet again, like, I own that game already on Wind Waker I own on GameCube and Wii U, and I own Twilight Princess on Wii and Wii U. So, like, do I really need another remaster? Not
you probably don't
really, because really the I think the best way to play that is the Wii U with the second screen.
Mm.
But you know, it's Zelda, so I always have this.
You have a weakness.
Weakness for Zelda related stuff, but I still just was thinking about it. Like, if they announced those two games for it, like.
I mean, so that can't be their only announcements, right? I think they're going to come out with some.
I can't remember, but these are all. Else. I don't think there was legitimate stuff. I saw that It Takes Two is currently leaked as coming out for Switch, which is very cool.
That's great.
That would be great if that's actually true.
Yeah,
because I think that would be amazing. That game needs to be on more devices.
Yeah.
But I'd
like to see, there's a game that came out called Rogue Legacy 2, and actually Noclip, which is a documentary podcast, they have a podcast as well, but they're they're a gaming documentary kind of place. They did a big background thing on Hades when it came out to launch. I think we watched it before, or you've seen clips of it and whatnot. And we've talked about it here, but I just watched the one on Rogue Legacy 2 as well. Really fascinating development, and like how they got there, and how like basically these two brothers who made Rogue Legacy went off to make it. They did have quite a bit of success with it. It was one of the first like really successful roguelites. Then they went and made some other game that just didn't do very well for them at all. And that was kind of like maybe the end of them making games. And then Rogue Legacy 2, they're like, well, we'll give it another go and we'll make this other one. And then they did early access and all the woes with like trying to release a game that's not quite made, and now all the criticism and all the like vitriol that sort of happens as a result. And it was neat. It's like an hour long. I threw it on. It's a good laundry folding channel to watch. In my experience. I hope that kind of game can come to Switch as well. Assuming I can get my Switch back. Would play on the Steam Deck though. I'm just pointing that out.
that door is never shut.
That door is never shut. I will say it should be shut. And as I talk myself through things, as you know, but like because I don't want to mess with all the settings. I know I don't, and it would bother me to the end. So really, I just need to play the Switch. But in any case, I'm super curious what Nintendo has in store for release this year. I feel like there must be something still lurking in the wings. Although, you know me and my Nintendo hope and constant
I do.
You know, letdowns.
Everything I read is very just like subjective. It didn't even seem like it was it's just someone saying like, I think there'll be a direct at the end of the month. But I don't know how to take any of these rumors, because you know how many are actually true and just whatever. Because I think the other one is Metroid Prime Remaster for Switch. That's the other one. The trilogy.
Oh, that might be interesting. Yeah. I know you're a fan of those. I have never gotten into them.
That's another one where it's like, do I want that? Maybe I do. But I have it on. I have the trilogy that they released on the Wii. Which had the motion controls, which was, I think, one of the best, or one of the, maybe not, maybe one of the better games that took advantage of those controls early on was Metro Prime 3 Corruption. I remember playing that game, and it was so well done that, like, it just gave just a little bit of immersion to that game. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you had to do all this thing just to, like, you know, play the game. It was just like, oh, there's a locked door, you know, you reach out to the handle, you kind of twist it to do the lock properly and you move on. And it just felt really nice and really cool at the time. But I do really like the Metroid Prime trilogy, although the second one's a slog. There's I don't think there's any argument about that. Like, the first and third one are good, but the second one is a slog. I finished it, but it was a lot of work to do. But I also own those on GameCube and Wii. So, like, do I need a third copy to play through? Really, I just want another Metroid. I mean, I really liked, obviously, Metroid Dread was amazing. But I really do want a Metroid Prime 4. We haven't heard anything about it for so long.
Did you end up with Metroid on your new DS?
No.
Okay. So you can borrow mine if you'd like. It is, I have not actually finished it, but it's it doesn't. My friend says it's not quite as good as Prime, not Prime. Dread, but it's still great. And so
this is what I've heard: it's not quite as good,
but it's more Metroid. So
it is more Metroid. Yeah.
Anyway, so I look forward to more news there. Jacob, take us through what you've been up to.
All right. So I finished Paradise Killer. I was talking about this last time. Oh,
cool. Yeah. I don't think you're the only one playing this game, by the way. I do listen to other couple of podcasts, and people are absolutely talking about it, and they really like it.
It's been out for a while. It was my friend's in his top 10 last year, is that I think.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. I was just looking at the release date. This was September 4, 2020.
I wonder if it's because it's shown up on Game Pass recently, right? Is that why you're playing it?
It's been on Game Pass for a little while, yeah.
Oh, it has, okay. Yeah, I wonder why it showed up and they're talking about it then.
Yeah, it came out on most things on September 4, 2020. So it might have been 2 years ago that it was on his list.
Okay.
Who knows? I don't remember when it came out on Game Pass. It was this year, though, I'm pretty sure. It might have been this year that it came out on Game Pass. Anyways, it was great. I really enjoyed it. It is a really kind of quirky, interesting game that almost has no, like, you enter some of these things where there's choices and decisions to make, and you kind of think that there's a true ending. I don't know that there is necessarily a true ending. Like, hard to go into it without kind of giving away too much. But ultimately you end up going to a trial and you have to present the evidence that you found, and you essentially make decisions of like who's guilty and not, like by providing this stuff. So it's I really enjoyed it. I had a really good time with it. It was a cool world to explore. It was just fun to like 3D platformer. As a 3D platformer that was just kind of like explore the world and then find these people to talk to and explore the evidence and kind of keep chipping away at like what people are doing. Good time. I recommend it. It's I can't remember what my time was with it, but I think it was 20, a little over 20 hours or so. But I did everything. Like, you, of course, you don't necessarily have to do everything because there's a lot of collectibles in it, and the collectibles aren't impactful on your evidence necessarily. But the thing about exploring the island and stuff is you will find evidence on the ground. So exploring is kind of an integral part of it if you want the full thing, because you're going to want to find secrets and, you know, find little hidden evidence and stuff like that as you go through it. So yeah, I really had a good time with it. There's this funny thing. It's not a spoiler, I don't think, but like one of the achievements, I was like, oh, I'm missing one achievement. It was like, finish the game and I think it was less than 10 minutes. And I was like, finish in less than 10 minutes. And it's legitimately start the game, start the trial, and just go through the trial. But because you have literally no evidence, you can't convict anybody and everybody just gets off scot-free and you just move on with the day. But this is the kind of thing, like, it's one of those things where how much evidence and how much time you spend doing it will determine kind of what you can do in the trial and your decisions. So it's kind of neat.
That is pretty neat. That twigs a memory of mine. There was a game, Far Cry 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. There was a thing you could do at the very beginning of that game and finish the game immediately. I always thought that was kind of amusing. Yeah. Like, I think you just like let somebody just do something terrible at the beginning that you're supposed to stop them, and then the game's just over. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's kind of funny. I have skipped ahead a little bit on your list and looked up your next game. You've talked about this before, and I feel like I need to play it. And that's based on no words out of your mouth yet.
Okay.
It also reminds me that Monkey Island is coming out this month, and we have not talked about this game. So we should do that.
This is true. Do you want to talk about Monkey Island first?
We could, yeah. Let's do it. How are you prepping to play Monkey Island?
It's a good question. Monkey Island's a difficult one for me. It's coming out on everything. So Switch and PC and all that stuff. And it's coming out mid-month. A game I haven't talked about here for a long time because I've parked it is Disco Elysium. Mm-hmm. I hate to get back to it, but I think I've talked to you outside of the podcast. It's just one of these games where I'm playing it with my wife. We've talked about it, and it's just life and everything gets in the way, and we just haven't felt. It's one of those ones where I want to spend.
It's a hard one to dive into.
A good amount of time in an evening to play, and we always have like, we always feel like, oh, we only have like 45 minutes or so, and it doesn't feel like enough to like spend a good chunk of time in that game.
Yeah.
So we've been putting it off for a long time. So I do really want to get back to it and just go through it because I was really liking it. But Monkey Island is one of the games where I had obviously played the series a long time ago, but in the more recent years, I played all through the entire series again with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
We went from all of them, including the Telltale series, which kind of turned me off at the end. It was getting a little much after like the fifth episode.
I feel like I like the original one, like the first two or three, like a lot. And then it kind of starts to wean for me.
The first four are good. Like, and there is some redeeming good, like there are some good things about the Telltale series. It's just the formula of the Telltale series kind of grates on me after a while. But like, you know, the first two are right, the Ron Gilbert right
to escape originals. Yeah.
And then the third one is when he left. But I really like the third one still. That one was one that I played a ton of.
I feel like Escape from Monkey Island is one that I still enjoyed as well. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So this one is going to be, he's making it the third one. So this is Return to Monkey Island. He's making it as if it's the third one because he doesn't consider the third one
his. Yeah, that's fair.
Which is a very Ron Gilbert kind of thing, but like it's fair. It's whatever. It sounds like he's bringing in Murray, the skull.
Yeah.
Which is from the third game.
Yeah.
So he's not like discounting everything, but he is just making it like, because I don't know how much you remember about it, but at the second one, the end of the second one, he ends up in like the Carnival of the Damned or something like that.
I'll just put it out there. When I played this in DOS.
Okay.
Like this was like 1991 or something.
You haven't
played
it again since?
No, I have not.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
So part of me wonders if that's what I need to do.
You should play it. You've never played the remasters?
No.
Oh my gosh. Go get the remasters, man.
I don't know that I want to.
No, they're good. They're really well done. They're like basically
the same?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're just you can switch to the original look.
I kind of like the original look. Yeah. I'll like the new look too, but I feel like I just have such fond memories of these games. They were the first like super funny game that I played, I think.
Yeah.
I can't really think of another game that stands out for me that was like this funny.
Yeah.
And like the sword fighting like was like the most ridiculous thing. Mm-hmm. Now I'm wondering if I need to maybe go back and play the first two so I can play this one in a reasonable way. And because there are going to be so many polls that I won't remember. It's been so long.
You should at least play the first two.
Yeah.
If you're going to play this one, you should play the first two because this one clearly is going to.
Oh my gosh, that really throws a kink in things. I'm glad we talked about it.
I don't know, but this is one that I will end up playing with my wife because we played the whole series, so she's familiar with it.
Yeah, and, no, I get that. Yeah.
And I think this is going to be one of those ones. The one thing is it's one of those games I'll probably end up double dipping. I want it on Switch, I think. I just want it on Switch. I really like the idea of having it on Switch.
Of course.
I had his other game. What was his other game that he made? We both got it.
I wonder if it's on. Are all the originals on Switch? Oh, you're talking about Timber something falls something.
Whatever that one was.
The murder mystery one.
Yeah. I had that on Switch.
That was a great game too.
I don't think Monkey Island is on Switch.
Okay.
Like the remakes or anything.
So next podcast, I'll have some conclusive answers as to what happened to Adam and the world of the Monkey Islands.
Yes.
Coming soon to episode 40, Timbleweed Park. That's the game.
Yeah. Yeah, typically park is.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was asking Jacob if there is of our, you know, relatively limited listening group, if there's anybody that knows other games that have fallen into this genre that are funny, that aren't produced by LucasArts, I would like to hear about them. Because there's not that many games.
I mean, there are like
or Sierra.
The Deponia series is kind of like that. That one is kind of
You and I have already gone through this conversation, so I'm confident that I've already looked at everything.
I don't think I brought up Deponia. Deponia is decent. It's kind of an homage to that kind of point and click humor game. It is the whole point is it's a funny thing. It's okay. I never finished the series, but I played a lot of it.
Right.
And it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Okay.
I don't know that it lives up to the same.
Well, here's the other thing that kind of bummed me out a little bit. Because I've really Monkey Island's really got a huge spot in my past, and the nostalgia is real for me, and lots of positive memories. And I then see that he was at PAX with the whole crew on this weekend, something that I've wanted to go to with you or I've mentioned before, I've wanted to go and check out. And I didn't even know, I didn't even think about it, I guess. And frankly, don't know if we could have logistically done it, but I was like, oh man, there would have been we could have come home with some merch and it would have been great.
Yeah. Wasn't it 2019 that you and I legitimately come up with a plan to make it
to go the following year? Yeah.
No, yeah. I think it was that year.
Oh, you're right.
But no, we sat down and we made we looked at the dates.
Yes.
And it was coming up very quickly.
I think you're right.
Made a plan to see, could we do this in a day? And then we rethought it and thought, no, this is ridiculous.
Well, we can 100% do it in a day. Like, I've driven down to Seattle a million times for a day trip. No problem. There's no problem with that. But anyways.
There's many things. But I just remember having the conversation with you, and I feel like we got to the point where this, like, it became a thing where we were like, can we do this?
Yeah.
Can we go down there?
Yeah.
We didn't end up doing it.
No. Maybe
But the problem is like, the thought comes way too late.
Yeah. Don't worry. We'll not do this again. We'll not do this for another 4 or 5 years. And then we'll be like, well, the kids
need to add a reminder.
The kids would probably like this. So we should just go down with the kids.
There you go.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about your next game.
If on a winter's night for travelers. My friend and I, we finished, PS Plus expired. We finished what we were doing. So we've been talking about what to play next. And kind of had a laundry list of things. This is a really short game. It's supposed to be pretty short. It's free. It's a free point and click adventure on Steam only. And it is a pixel art.
It's
labeled as horror.
Is it really?
Yes. And I would say yes. I would agree with that statement. It is not.
Not for the faint of heart.
No, it's funny how a pixel art like this can really still kind of freak you out.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you that, yes, it did. I think you'd be fine with it.
Sure.
But it definitely isn't it's not a very friendly game.
Right.
But it's very well done so far. I've been enjoying it. It's text. There's no voiceover or anything like that.
It looks great. But the art style for this game, by the way, is perfect for me. This is exactly the type of point and click.
It's very well done.
Yeah.
And we're on the third traveler. So we did 2 out of 3.
Okay.
And it seems like there literally legitimately is 4 of these. The way I take it is it's these just 4 distinctive stories that you kind of walk through. The point and click, it's not very puzzly. There's, you click on things and yes, you have to do a thing to get through it, but it feels much more of just a
visual novel.
It leans more on the novelization, the story elements rather than the puzzle elements, for instance. Sure. There's not an inventory or something. Yes, you can pick up in certain cases an object, but you basically have one thing and you use it immediately.
So I clicked on a Let's Play video just while you were chatting there, and mm-hmm. it it was a full playthrough in an hour and a half, which is probably them knowing everything to do. But is that true? That check out for you?
I mean, we spent probably 2 hours on it already. Okay. Maybe less. Maybe it was less, and we've done half of it. But like, yeah, we had never played it. I don't know.
Right.
I think it is only like 3 or 4 hours most. Yeah.
That looks great. Up.
Like, it's a pretty quick rundown.
Less funny than Monkey Island, probably.
I don't think there was one humorous thing in it. It is a very serious and there was a part that like kind of scared me. It reminds me, oh my gosh, I hope I remember this game. This was probably pre-podcast that I played it. Oh no.
All right, we'll let Jacob.
I wish I could think of the game, and it's not going to come. It's not going to come up for me. There's a game on the Switch that I played that was pixel art, very like reminiscent of the Sierra type games, and it's surprising how frightening it was and how stressed I felt about playing that game. I played it with a friend. Yeah. He got me into it, and it just, like, even though it's pixel art, it just, you know, there's certain, like, even playing the Sierra games, I remember playing the fourth King's Quest, and because it was the one that we had, and so we played it a lot, and there's these like various points in that game where you have to go into a cave and there's an ogre and you have to kind of like show up when he's not there, and it's very stressful to try to get through this very dark.
Very familiar with what you're talking about.
And then there's three witches that pass an eye.
The witches are the ones, and you have to, like, remembering. Yeah,
you got to steal the eye just in time before they get you and throw them.
Yeah, it's stressful, but it's not really like, it's not scary, is it? So much as it's like,
yeah. So this is like that stress. The game that I'm thinking of is like that stress. But with an added like horror element to it.
Yeah, fair. So you're still playing this game then?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I figure we'll probably have one more playthrough this week on it. But yeah. I like it. I'm honestly, it's pretty good for a free game that they just threw on there. I know it's short and small, and they just felt they couldn't sell it for much. I don't know, but like, it's pretty impressive they just threw it on there for free.
It is curious, considering how much effort endeavors take. It is an interesting.
They did use, like, there's, you know, these days, you know, they use the adventure game engine, AGE. There's a lot of these out there now, and I think Adventure Game Engine is like one of the main ones that's just built to make these games. Like,
okay,
all the tools are there.
Got it.
So it's not, I wouldn't say easy, but like, they're, you know, it's all there kind of laid out so you can create these kind of experiences.
Sure. Removes the programming hurdles and just lets an artist go to town on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But cool. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Okay, I'm going to skip ahead for a second. I'll come back to the ones that are on my list. But I also played Agent 64, Spies Never Die, and it's a demo. And this is for those who want to play like a Perfect Dark or GoldenEye game on a PC. It's incredibly well done. It basically looks like a Perfect Dark clone.
Okay.
It is very 64 like, with the blocky characters and stuff like that, and the way that it plays is very similar, other than you have the modern kind of look with your mouse and stuff, keyboard and mouse play.
Oh, it 100% looks like.
Oh, it was good. I enjoyed it. It was literally one level, and it has like three different difficulties, and each difficulty has different things you have to do in the mission to accomplish it. So it gets harder and harder.
Sure.
And yeah, it was a one level. It wasn't that difficult. And it was just like, it was just kind of a fun thing to go through. It's a very nostalgic thing. And so if you're just like looking for, again, it was just a demo of single level. So it's a developer kind of working on it. But if you ever feel like you want to experience that very like mid-90s Perfect Dark GoldenEye era shooter, it's pretty amazing what they did.
because it just it is that game.
Yeah, this is an era that this is, I sort of skipped through, so I'm not as nostalgic for it.
But it's not.
I see the appeal.
It's not a must play by any means, but yeah, for those who like that kind of looking for that, I always like the idea of going back to something like GoldenEye. I always see these rumors about an HD remaster that never got released because of licensing, and I was like, I played Perfect Dark when it released on 360 as an HD remaster, and I just like this. Yeah, it's just I played a ton of that back in the day. That was my jam in the 90s. Like my friends played a ton of Perfect Dark with my friends. Yeah, I just pulled a.
Were jams out in the 90s?
Jams?
Yeah. Do you remember jams? Is that a thing for you?
No.
No. All right.
I mean, jams have been around for a long time. You know, like they spread on toast. Is that what we're talking about? Or like jamming, like make, you know?
So jams came out in, they started making them in 1964.
Okay.
Looks like 1991, Surfline Hawaii's annual. Yeah. So they were like a late 80s, early 90s. They're a very trendy brand of clothes. I don't know why I'm bringing this up. It has nothing to do with anything aside from you saying it's your jam.
I see.
Somebody out there will go, yeah, I know what he's talking about. Those were my jams.
Oh, boy.
Take that to your loaf of bread.
Next game.
Please.
I tried the Hot Wheels expansion for Forza Horizon.
Yes, tell us more about that.
It is Forza Horizon, but on plastic tracks doing loop-de-loops. It feels like they're like, how can we make Forza Horizon more like Mario Kart? And that's kind of what it feels like. But like with that for Forza Horizon, like speed and racing, it feels very good to do loop-de-loops and like kind of that wacky routes because you're going upside down. There's magnetic roads that keep you up so you can do like crazy, you know, angles while you're seeing it.
Right.
And it brings back like a whole bunch of new story and races to do. And it's pretty good. I bought it. I mean, for the amount of hours I've put into Horizon, spending whatever $20 on the DLC for a game that I spent $0 in for however many hours I spent in it felt fine. And honestly, I think it's another good reason to jump back into Forza for a while.
That's fair. I haven't participated in this yet, but I think I will. I do think that, it's funny you say Mario Kart. I just saw a video clip of a guy in a full sim rig racing around a Mario Kart track. And I suspect that somebody's ported I think it was Yoshi's Circuit. And they ported it, I think, to probably one of like the bigger racing games. And it looks outstanding. Like it looked totally like the Nintendo game and in like the Switch. So yeah. Like decent fidelity. But like this guy's literally like drifting around the corners to like, and not getting boosts or anything, but he's just totally driving it like a pro.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, it's kind of
funny. That's funny.
So this feels like a bit of that, I guess, in the sense that it's kind of real cars, but still some weird physics.
Yeah. And then the story is like, I don't know whether it's just corporations getting involved in this, but it is just a history of the Hot Wheels. So as you go through the story, the woman who's like driving you through or you're doing, you know, usually in the Forza Horizon main one, they would tell you stories about the cars, right, that you were driving or something like, how did that happen? And then the fake stories of their, you know, whatever that they built. But this one is more about like the history of Hot Wheels. Yeah. So they talk about the cars and the diecast and all that stuff that they did.
There's probably a tremendous amount of people that are really enjoying that and eating it up. I think there's still a lot of people that like to collect these things.
So it's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But
that's cool.
I think it's a decent add-on. I think it's worth it. Okay. Next is the 3DS time. So I got the 3DS, and the first game that I popped in was Ocarina of Time 3D.
So are we on week 3 of owning this thing now?
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just trying to measure how much progress you've made in
yes.
a period of time.
So I have so many things to talk about the 3DS. I'll start with a few games and then I'll go to the other things. But like Ocarina of Time 3D is now 100% my definitive way of playing that game.
Got it.
I didn't know. I knew of it. I knew of Majora's Mask. I didn't really fully grasp like what they had done to the game. I kind of got a high level. But like after playing it, it's incredible. Like it's a really fun way to play that game and really well done.
You're right.
And just the quality of life stuff, the touchscreen kind of inventory in it, two dual screens, is done really well. It's just a really good game. And so I finished it. I didn't 100% it because I've played that game many times and felt like I didn't need to 100% it again. But I played through it and got a majority of the stuff and just experienced a lot of that game. And it was really good. Really glad to have. I'm really glad to have it on the system because it's one of those games where I've had it in various versions of Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
I have the GameCube version. It was a bonus disc. It's rare. It's a bonus disc. I think it was a Nintendo Power thing. Maybe.
Oh, cool.
I think that's the one where it came on a GameCube disc where you got
sure.
1, 2, Ocarina and Majora's Mask. And it came with, I think I'm getting confused about these games now. I think I'm getting the disc mixed up. Anyways, the GameCube version I have also has Master Quest, which was the unreleased version that didn't come out in North America. It has different puzzles and stuff.
Oh,
which cool about Ocarina of Time 3D is if you finish the game, you unlock Master Quest. So both versions are part of the 3DS version of that game, which is like, that's perfect. You have both versions in that cartridge,
right?
Which is incredible. So yeah, really glad to have played that and actually have it now and own that copy, because I've always kind of hoped that they come out with like a physical version on a more modern console. But now that I played it on 3DS, like that's satisfying to me. That's exactly a great place to play it.
That's great.
And then I did pick up some, went to a local store and picked up some used copies of 3DS games and DS games, mainly to finish off the Zelda collection. So I got Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks.
Yeah.
So I started
I remember Spirit Tracks. Spirit Tracks is one you can draw on the screen, right? Have you played it yet?
I have not played Spirit Tracks.
Okay.
But I assume it's similar to Phantom Hourglass. And so after playing Ocarina of Time, this is a DS game. Well, both Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass are, and I didn't know what to expect. And what I didn't realize was it's 100% stylus driven.
Right.
There's no other controls in that game other than flicking down the map and stuff. And it is very much about like literally moving the stylus around to move Link around, swipe to it. It's like the DS is like the Wii of the handhelds. Like right. This like idea that the stylus does everything. I'm not sold on it. It's fine. I'm enjoying it enough, but I can see like already that the stylus gets a little bit like tiresome to play this style of game. I can see where what's like the things that I like about it. It's cool that you flick down the map and you draw notes to yourself on the map about where things are. So like
yes.
If you find something that you can't do yet, you can just put a note to come back to it. And then, you know,
I think
you
the biggest problem I had with the notes is I could never write it well enough. And
right.
So I ended up having to like devise like a system of like symbols.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can see that happening. It's not like precision. It's thick lines. It's not great, but yeah. So I've been playing Phantom Hourglass for the most part. I want to play that in Spirit's Tracks. And it's been pretty good, but ultimately the thing about playing the 3DS is why has Nintendo not adopted some of the most amazing things they've done for the 3DS and put it into the Switch? So, A, the themes and badges on the 3DS, incredible. Like, just the theming and stuff. There's a whole badge system where you can just collect badges that you can then decorate your 3DS folders, which you can't do on the Switch. There's no folders on the Switch. Organization is so much better. there's so many things about it that I'm like surprised they haven't even bothered to monetize this kind of stuff. Like they could easily monetize it. Like they,
I wonder if they, yes, I wonder if they haven't, just to try and keep the UI super clean on the Switch, because the Switch does get accolades for like just how clean it is compared to any other console for that matter.
Yeah, that's fair. But like even the structure, like I would love to have folders. I would love to have folders to be able to put games into folders. You can't do that. They came out with like a garbagey version of it called Bookmarks, I think, which isn't really folders. It's like making, or collections or something, where you can kind of make your own collections of things, but it's not folders. It's like making duplicate lists. You can duplicate games and have them in separate lists and stuff like that. It's not the same thing. But then there's like, okay, then there's the 3DS activity feed. Have you seen the 3DS activity feed?
I'm very familiar with the 3DS in every regard. No, you're going to miss, you're actually literally missing the best part of the 3DS. It doesn't really exist anymore. And that was Street Pass. Street Pass was like the coolest thing, in my opinion, because we brought our 3DS with us like everywhere when we traveled or whatever. And I remember taking it to Disneyland because I was excited and the kids were excited about it. Like, you got people from all over the place because lots of people come from all over the place to play these games. And so and then they show up and they're like, oh, somebody from Japan like showed up, and you get like special things and characters, Miis that would show up in your worlds when you play it. And like, that's the kind of stuff that I think Nintendo is like really good at. And they deployed it in en masse with the 3DS, but then it all sort of went away overnight.
Right. Yeah, but it's all these things. I mean, the activity feed to me is like, I couldn't believe it because I didn't know it existed until the other day. And I went into it and I was like, wait a second, like all this, because I played Ocarina. I was like, I wonder how much time I spent on that. Too bad I don't know. And then yesterday I was looking at it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's down to which days I played. Like, it's incredible. Like, of everything I did. And like, the Switch
more of a health thing, hey? Like, they put that in there so that you can monitor how much you were playing it.
Oh, I know.
And you can put limits and whatnot.
That limits thing is kind of in the Switch, but then they like take away that stuff. But it's like, it's just crazy to me that they have this like great features in the 3DS that they were like, oh, well, that's not for Switch. And then they retired the 3DS.
It's curious.
Because even the Street Pass stuff is still, I mean, it's a handheld.
I mean, Street Pass, they could do a Switch if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And they could still probably do it today with a patch. Real Deal Baseball. Frusty's Real Deal Baseball. Do you know this game?
Yep, I do, yeah.
I played so much of this game. I recommend getting it if you don't have it.
Yeah, I've played it before on my friends. He introduced it to me.
Yeah. I remember I had my Switch with me all the time, and this was basically the only... It was like 3DS, a Rusty machine. 3DS, yeah. It was like a Rusty's machine for like a year. It was pretty great.
Did you, because you have to spend, you have to buy some of the games in there, right?
You do, yeah.
Yeah.
And you, I think if I recall correctly, you unlock things from that. Yeah. Like you can now then like get things for the 3DS themes from your achievements in the game, which I think is a neat reward. But you know what's really funny is like PlayStation also does not have themes. But like I turned my PS4 on the other day and it's got a sweet Ghost of Tsushima like theme. And I'm like, oh, like the leaves are flowing and like the whole background's kind of animated. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Yeah, it doesn't exist. I don't know, man. It doesn't exist on the PS5.
Yeah. I mean, I've never liked the PS4 or the PS5 interface.
I don't love the interface. Don't get me wrong. But it's funny how they take away these things.
I think the Switch UI is one of the best UIs because it's simple and accessible for those things. But once
Agree with you there. The Switch is a far better UI. It's got less buttons, less confusion, more clarity.
Didn't I just say this?
Oh, what I thought did I say? I saw you said 3DS.
Sorry, the Switch. No, sorry, I meant the Switch. The Switch, I really like the simple UI. But one of the things that I think it's missing is like once the game collection gets to a level that's big, like folders in itself.
Folders would be lovely.
I really like folders because scrolling through a collection of games,
Yeah.
Like, I'd like to be able to.
Or just, it gets, just tag them as genres, like as like RPG or whatever already for me, and then just let me filter.
I'd rather do
the You'd rather myself, self-organize, but, I know. But yes. But I'll take either.
Like, yeah. I don't know why. I mean, they've had these things in these
It's funny you say that, actually, because I was looking at my brother-in-law's Switch, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many games. He's gotten like every free game that was ever offered ever. So like, he's got lots of rubbish in there that you would never even probably launch, but he just gets them anyways. And they, it's just too many things to scroll through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm pretty thrilled about the 3DS. It's
I'm really thrilled that you know about Rusty's Real Deal Baseball. I feel like this is not a game people know about.
So, oh, yeah. My friend introduced it to me a few years back.
Yeah. I think it was very popular in Japan and not as popular in North America, maybe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. But yeah, I got, I also picked up Star Fox 64 because I would like that. That's especially after playing Ocarina of Time.
Right.
I'd like to play that because it's a remaster of that game, and I really like Star Fox. And I wish I had to look back. The other two Zelda games, which was Link Between Worlds, which I had played because you lent it to me, one of our early
interactions,
sharing moments, and Triforce Heroes, which I was told was not very good, but it is a Zelda game.
Yeah, Link Between Worlds, I think, continues to be my favorite Zelda game I've ever played.
Hmm. Yeah.
I think for me, the top-down Zeldas reign, they rule the roost. And I don't know that I've played a better version of that style of game. I'd love them to make more of that style.
It's not even Link's Awakening.
Link's Awakening was okay. I thought it was okay. And the remake was, I mean, it looked nice, but it, it was good. I should say it was good. It was better than okay. It was a fine game, Jacob. I don't know. I don't want to put a number on it, but it was it doesn't hold a candle to Link Between Worlds. Link Between Worlds was like.
Love those journeys you take me on.
It was, I mean, first of all, it's on the 3DS, and all the first party 3DS games use not all, but a lot of them. If you wanted to like showcase a good usage of 3D, those games do it. They do a really good job of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that one and one of the Super Marios did an exceptionally good job with 3D. And I didn't always keep the 3D on in a lot of games, but those ones I did. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you're getting to enjoy these handhelds. I think there's probably a time and place where we could go back a little further in handhelds from Nintendo and play through some games. There's a big library of games there for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's
and the dual screen. You kind of talked about it for what was the game you were talking about for
Ocarina?
Oh, Wind Waker.
Oh, Wind Waker. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that. The dual screen was just, I don't know, like to your point, like having a secondary screen, like a primary screen that you're playing the game on and the secondary like management screen or inventory or whatever it is a neat way to play video games. And having that in your hand, I remember playing Lego, the Chase McCain, Chase McCain, and having
Undercover, like Lego Undercover,
that game Undercover City on Wii U is like just such a neat experience of a game. Compared to, I suspect, and I've never played it on anything else, but I suspect, actually, no, we've played it on 3DS. It's kind of similar on 3DS. It's just cool, but very specific and understandable that like hard to monetize some of that stuff outside of your own platform games. Like what third party developer is gonna like Chase McCain? That whole game is just a lucky game to get made and do well, I think. Even if I don't even know if it did well. But like, who's going to develop specifically for one platform?
Yeah. I mean, that's where the Wii U struggled, right? Like most of the people didn't take the second screen serious enough and didn't put in the effort to do it. So the first party games shined on it and showed what it could do. Like, I think Nintendo, what was it called? The kind of the game that did come with it, but might as well or should have. Nintendo Land, like playing five players where one player saw one screen and the four watched off the TV.
Right.
And you were kind of like hiding from them or whatever the games that they had. That looked, that was so good. Was so, so well good. Done. And then again, Twilight Princess and Wind Waker used the screen very well, and being able to switch your stuff like right off that screen was really cool.
You know,
lots of different things used it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This makes me think like did Nintendo come out with the Wii U and really expect a lot more success from it because of their success with the 3DS? And they're like, yeah, people love having a second screen. Like, this is going to, this thing's going to sell like gangbusters. Yeah. Nobody's even thought of doing this yet.
Maybe.
And then maybe that just didn't do as well.
It was just, it was, I feel like it was just the usual like Nintendo poor messaging around what it was. And
calling it the Wii U.
Calling it Wii U.
Was probably great. Mistake 101.
People yeah. confused about what it was. And they kind of entered it as a kind of a
you know, I say
as
that,
a competition with other like Xbox and PlayStation.
They totally and did.
Didn't really, wasn't going to be that.
No, and it never, they never really have been. But like, it's funny I say, we kind of give them a hard time about Wii U, but I mean, I've seen parents go in and like just been in GameStop or whatever, and somebody's buying a game for their kid and they're like, I want it for my Xbox. Well, which Xbox does your kid have? I don't know. I have an Xbox. Like,
right.
But the names are so like, I get confused today as to which Xbox is.
The Xbox is like,
unless it's the Xbox 360, I have no idea.
Right.
It's just an Xbox.
Yeah. Unless it's an Xbox or an Xbox 360. Past that.
Right. I think I mean, I'm teasing now because I think I actually know them now, but it took me a long time. And I'm somebody who like reads this stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, no, Xbox,
I think they could all do a better job there. Yeah.
Yes. No, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you're going through all that.
And I think that's it. That's it. That's all I've been doing for now.
The end.
The end. I the 3DS has definitely like sidestepped my plan for more story-based games in Game Pass. Because I was meant to play maybe Chinatown Detective Agency or As Dusk Falls, I thought about. Immortality came out, which
Immortality
is the third
looks
game
cool, yeah.
By the guy who did Her Story. And it's supposed to be very well done. So that just came out on Game Pass. Citizen Sleeper is still on my list to do. Really kind of want to play that one. Got a bunch of them on there. So it just, too much.
I'm looking forward to hearing about your review of Citizen Sleeper when you get through it. Or get to it. Or
get to it eventually. One day.
Mm-hmm.
One day,
Jacob. One day. All right. Good chat.
All right.
Thanks everyone for listening.
That's it. Everybody listen. You can follow us at Run the Bear. Say it every time.
Yeah, every time.
On Twitter. Yet. Do it. Just follow us.
Just press the button.
Yeah. You know, like bring it. That. Is it a bell?
I was going to say like and subscribe. Yeah. And be sure to ring the bell. I don't know why we say these things. It's because the algorithm or something. I don't know. This is what YouTubers say. So.
Right. That's right. I say this for algorithms and things. You need to.
Yes. Also, maybe comment below on like what your favorite thing about this podcast was.
Yeah.
I think they say that they want comments because I think it drives the interaction level. And then that raises up their...
Wait, where do you comment about podcasts?
You don't. I'm just being...
Oh, I thought maybe you do.
But on YouTube. Well, I guess on Twitter, I guess you could mention the podcast or something.
You could.
Hashtag Outrun the Bear.
Now I'm wondering if that hashtag is being used for other reasons.
Oh, God.
We should
we should have researched that before I said it.
Yeah. I'm now looking forward to finding out.
Oh, no. It's like some like cult or something.
We appreciate comments. You could just say them verbally out loud as you're like listening to the podcast. Just say them out loud. We'll know
just
what you're
send
saying.
Them into the universe.
Yeah, we'll hear them. Don't worry. So comments, please just say them out loud.
Do not put them on the internet.
No, don't bother. You don't need to. We won't find them there. It's more likely that we'll just hear them. All right. Thanks, everybody.